I thought there was another song. How y'all doing tonight? Let me get my notes in order. All right. Well, I've got good news for some of you who've been like, we've been in Act Radical forever. And we have. We've been in it since August. And some of you guys are like, we really need a little break. Well, guess what? We're taking a break from Act Radical. And we're starting a brand new four-week series tonight. Anybody got any guesses on what the series is? You guys are so smart. Jesus versus idols. Wow. You must have got on Facebook and looked. Yes, it's Jesus versus idols. And as you see, the artwork, it means something, okay? You see, you got Jesus versus idols, and there is a fighting rink, okay, in the middle there. There is a boxing match. There is a wrestling match against Jesus and against idols. And here's the deal. Whoever wins in your life, you will either be a worshiper or you will be an idolater. Those are the only two options. You can't be neither. You can't be, okay, I'm not going to worship anything, because we all worship something, as we're going to see. So there's this fight that's going on in your heart, and I'll go ahead and introduce my throne here. Okay, this is going to be our throne of glory, all right? This, I want you to imagine, is inside your heart, inside your very being. You have a throne of glory. Here it is. And Jesus is fighting for this throne, but there's a whole lot of other beings and idols that are fighting for this same throne. And the question is, who's going to win out? So we're going to take a four-week series, and we're going to look at Jesus versus idols. But I want to start off with a definition of worship, because round one, like boxing match, like round one is glory. It's a fight for glory. Who's going to be the center of your life? So as we think about this, I want to get a working definition of what exactly worship is. Now, I think this fight for glory is going to make more sense to you. Here it is in Romans, starting at Romans 11, verse 36. It says this, "For from him," talking about Jesus, "for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be what? Glory. To him be glory." Okay? So he is the one who should get glory. He is the one that should be on the throne of glory. Why? Because you were created by him, through him, and for him. Your life was meant to make much of Jesus. Your life was meant to worship Jesus, for him to be the center of your soul. That's your throne of glory. So to him be glory forever. Amen. And then it says this, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Now notice those three words. This is going to make up our definition of worship. And yes, I stole this from Mark Driscoll, who I steal everything from, but he stole it from Paul. So it's cool, all right? So he got it from Paul. But here's what worship is. It starts with glory. And basically, glory is that thing in your life that you treasure the most. That's what glory is, that thing that you say, this thing getting all of my passion, my pleasure, my desires. This is what I say is glorious. This is the best thing in my life. That's the place of glory. That's what it means to worship, to put something in that place. And notice what happens. When you have your object of worship, you do something. Number one, you devote yourself to it. You present your body. And number three, you make sacrifices for that object. And so here's what happens. When Jesus is on the throne of glory, you're a worshiper. And you know what you'll do? You will devote your life to him. Your time, your energy, your talents, they'll be devoted to him. Why? Because he's the best in your life. You want him more than anything. And you're willing to make sacrifices for him. Why? Because you see him to be the greatest being in the universe. You're willing to sacrifice to have more of him because he is at the place of glory in your life. But here's the deal. Jesus is not the only one who can sit at this throne. There's a whole lot of other stuff that can be put on this throne. And when something else gets on the throne and it becomes your place of glory, then that's when it becomes idolatry. It can be a boyfriend, it can be a car, it can be a sport, it can be an iPhone, it can be whatever you want. Whatever you find to be the treasure of your heart, That's what the place of glory is for you. And you're going to devote yourself to it, and you're going to make sacrifices to it. And ultimately, idolatry is a heart that's unsatisfied in God. That's what it means. That's what it means to be idolatrous, a heart unsatisfied with God. So what I'm going to do, we have this boxing match. It's Jesus versus idols, and I really want Jesus to win in your life. Like, I'm pleading for Jesus to win in your life. He wants to win in your life. So we're going to kind of do the announcer, where it's like, in the first corner, we have idol, all right? If you have your Bibles, go to Isaiah chapter 44. If you have a Bible under your chair, it's page 604. If you don't have a Bible under your chair, you can open your Bible up in the middle. If you land in Psalms, keep flipping towards the New Testament. If you land in Jeremiah, flip towards the Old Testament, all right? Isaiah chapter 44, it's found on page 604 if you have a Bible under your chair. And once you get it, if you would stand out of reverence for the Word of God. Now, I just want to preface this and say, this should make you sort of laugh in your heart. Like, you should look at this guy and think, this guy's not smart. Like, he is not all there, okay? I'm just wanting to say that, so you can kind of read this into this. Basically, Isaiah is making fun of somebody, all right? He's making fun of somebody who worships an idol. So here it is in verse 9 of chapter 44. All who fashion idols are nothing, and the things they delight in do not profit. Notice, they're delighting in these things. These idols that they're making, it's causing them joy and delight. That's why we run to idols, for joy and delight. But notice, they do not profit. They do not ultimately work. It says, their witnesses neither see nor know that they may be put to shame. Who fashions a god or casts an idol that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his companions shall be put to shame, and the craftsmen are only human. Let them all assemble. Let them stand forth. They shall be terrified. They shall be put to shame together. The ironsmith takes a cutting tool and works it over the coals. He fashions it with a hammer and works it with a strong arm. He becomes hungry and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. The carpenter stretches a line. He marks it out with a pencil. He shapes it with the planes and marks it with a compass. He shapes it in the figure of a man, with the beauty of a man to dwell in the house. He cuts down cedars, or he chooses a cypress tree or an oak, and let it grow strong among the trees of the forest. He plants a cedar, and the rain nourishes it. Then it becomes fuel for a man. He takes a part of it and warms himself and kindles a fire and bakes bread. Also, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it an idol and falls down before it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over the half he eats meat and roast and is satisfied. Also he warms himself and says, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the rest of it he makes into a god, an idol, and falls down and worships it. He prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. And then in verse 20, he feeds on ashes. A deluded heart has led him astray. And he can not deliver himself or say, is there not a lie in my right hand? You guys may be seated. Now, like I said, it's supposed to be kind of funny. Like, notice the folly of idolatry, the folly of idols. This is the contender to the throne of your heart. Notice how ridiculous they are. Here you got this guy, okay? And he basically plants a tree. It's a good thing, right? You're supposed to plant a tree. Little song that goes with that. So you plant a tree for tomorrow. He watches it grow. And then one day he thinks, this is a good tree. I'm going to cut it down. So he cuts down this tree, okay? And he cuts it in half. And I brought a little tree. Here we go. We cut this tree in half, all right? And he's like, sweet. I've got two pieces of wood. And the guy basically says, all right. Let's see. Any, mini, mighty, mo. Wood. God. All right. And then he takes his first piece of wood, and he does what you should do with wood, right? He basically puts it together with other wood, and he makes a little campfire. How many of you guys have made a fire before? With wood. That's a good thing, right? You make a fire, and he bakes some bread. You know, I think they're probably graham crackers. He puts a marshmallow, chocolate, s'more. He's partying. This is good. He's warm. He's saying, aha, I've seen the fire. This is good. I'm refreshed. He takes a good thing, which is wood, and he does what he should with it. Use it how God created it to be used for, which is to make fire and to bake stuff. But then notice what he does with the second piece. He takes the second piece and he says, ah, now you piece of wood, You are going to be my God. And notice all this labor he goes into this piece of wood. He fashions it. He makes a cutting tool and he starts shaping this thing. And he makes it in the image of this really cute dude. And he's got this idol. And he's like, now you are my God. And he puts the idol down. And he actually bows down to it. And it says he worships this idol. Now, does anybody see a problem with that? It's like, okay, well, for one, okay, you cut the thing in half, and half of it you burned, and half of it you're praying to it for it to deliver you, and you're worshiping it. Like, there should be a connection in our minds to say, this is not really smart. Like, this one is my firewood, which I can burn. This one, if I offend it, it can hurt me, because it's God, right? Like, Isaiah is basically making fun of his culture because he sees everyone all around worshiping things that are made, things that are not God. And they're ultimately giving worth to those things. Indeed, they are worshiping those things. So the question is, why in the world would this guy cut a piece of wood, burn half of it, and make the other into a god? Why would he make it into an idol, and why would he start worshiping it? Here's what you need to know. This is very important. Everyone on planet Earth was created to worship. That's why this guy made an idol. He has a desire. He has a longing in his heart to worship, to put something on the throne of glory and to give worth to it, to worship it. And the best he can do is make a carved image out of wood. Everyone has a need to worship. And everyone has a need for a Savior, which we're going to look at next week. But for this evening, we're going to look at worship. This guy has a need for worship. Now, there's something we need to do when we look at this guy or when we think about it. We don't need to think, man, this guy is really ignorant, and I'm really glad we don't do this anymore. I'm really glad we don't cut down wood and make things for us to worship. I'm really glad we are over idol worship. Man, I'm really glad we're smarter than that. I'm glad we've grown up. Man, we're Americans. So glad we don't do that anymore. Because the thing you need to know is, we as Americans worship idols all the time. In fact, we've got a TV show. What's it called? American Idol. So much as we have elevated idols up, and we say, you know what, if you'll go through, if you'll sing these certain songs, and Simon thinks you're really great, then you can get this record deal, and you can make a lot of money, you can sing enough songs, and you can have all these people gather around you and worship you. You can become an idol. We make a show about this. You see, you need to know that idols are not limited to blocks of wood like this guy did. But they can be anything. They can be anything that goes on the throne of glory in our hearts. It can be a car. A lot of you guys have cars. A lot of you don't yet. You want a car, but a car can be an idol. You see, a car is... it's a good thing. And mostly idols, a lot of times they're good things that we turn into God things. And here's what can happen. You see, a car is made to get you from point A to point B. It's for transportation. That's a great thing. I don't like walking everywhere. I like driving. It's a good thing. But have you ever noticed, like, all cars don't look the same? Have you ever noticed, like, manufacturers spend a lot of time and effort and money to make all cars look different and to make some look more beautiful than others? And they actually make some cars to be faster than others and some cars to be more horsepower than others. They make all these different varieties of cars. Now, why is that? I mean, if a car just to get you from A to B, why would you spend all this time making all these different cars? Well, here's the reason. Because for some people, a car is not just a car. A car could be an idol. A car could be a god, where you put it in the place of glory, and here's what you do. You know, this car, it's not just about getting me around. It's about if I buy this car, if I make enough sacrifice and I get the car I really want, then I can cruise down the road and all of a sudden I have significance. People will look at me and I'll be noticed. I'll be liked. I'll have respect. I'll have joy. I'll have pleasure. So a car is not a car anymore. It's this idol you've put up to give you all of these things that ultimately God can only give you. Only God can give you true significance. It's not going to come from a car. But we try our best. Man, we put spinners on them. We put loud systems. We do all this cool stuff to say, this car is what brings me joy. Now, can you have a nice car? Sure. But a car can become a god. I'll give you another example. March Madness is going on right now. Probably most of you guys know that. Most of you have been watching a lot of games. In March Madness, here can be the difference. There's millions of people watching March Madness. And for a lot of people, March Madness is about a sport and it's about a team. It's about basketball. Man, you really enjoy the game. It's about this one team that you like. Maybe it's UK, maybe it's whoever. But you really like that team. You enjoy watching them. You enjoy cheering for them. And it just, man, it does make you happy to watch them and to cheer for them. And you really like them as a sport and as a team. That's a few people. But you know what? There are millions of guys and girls too. The March Madness is not about a sport and it's not about a team. It's about a God. And it's about worship. Because to them, UK basketball, it's not just a team, it's God. And UK basketball is put right here at the throne of glory, and they worship it. And they spend all of their time, energy, money, everything goes to that. I heard a story, I don't know if this is true, but apparently when we were in the process of getting Coach Cal, there was a room full of men, and they were trying to raise money to get him. And these guys just started writing checks, $100,000. $200,000, $300,000. Just started writing. They passed a hat. And by the time they passed that, they had enough money to hire him. You know what that is? That's worship. That's saying, I'm giving my hard-earned money. I'm giving a lot of it. I'm not tithing to God's kingdom. I'm tithing to my kingdom, which is sports. See, sports can be a good thing. I'm a fan. I enjoy UK basketball. But when a good thing becomes a God thing, it becomes an idol. And it competes for that place of glory in our lives. So that's what idols do. See, we have all these desires and passions that come because we're created by God. We have a passion, we have a desire to be happy. We have a desire to be loved. We have a desire for pleasure. We have a desire for all these things. And ultimately, they can all be fulfilled in Christ. But we take those and we try to get those in all kinds of other things. And in 2 weeks, we're going to actually look at cultural idols. We're going to put all the different idols of culture up here, and we're going to talk about it and examine them. Because for you, your God might not be Jesus, it might be your boyfriend. And it's really easy to tell. Because what happens when the boy wants you to compromise on what Jesus would tell you not to do? Who do you obey? The boy or Jesus? If you obey the boy, guess who's your God? The boy, not Jesus. See, it's real easy once we start talking about our idols. You can see pretty easily if Jesus is on the throne or if something else is on the throne. Here we've got this fight. We've got this going on in your heart right now. You have a throne of glory in your heart, and my prayer is that Jesus will be on it. He's fighting for it. But there's all these different idols that are also contending for the throne. And notice why this guy does it. It says he has a deluded heart, has led him astray. He's got a deluded heart. He's not connected to God. He's got this deluded heart. He doesn't even know that he has a lie in his right hand. This piece of wood that he's worshiping is not ultimately his God. Because he was created by God, through God, and for Jesus, who is the true God. So we've sort of laid out idols, sort of in a nutshell. They're contending for the throne. They're things, created things. Oftentimes what we create. And it's when a good thing or a bad thing becomes a God thing, that's when it becomes a really bad thing. That's when it becomes our place of worship. So there we have in that corner, we have the idols. Now, quickly, Jesus. Here's what Thomas said about Jesus in John 20. He says, Thomas answered him, my Lord and my what? God. See, here's the true God. Jesus Christ is the true God. He is not a created thing that we have made because we have a desire to worship. He is the creator who has made us to long for him in worship. He's the one that created everything. He is the true God, the ones that our hearts really long for, and the only one who's worthy to set in the place of glory in your heart. It's Jesus. Notice what it says in Matthew This is when Jesus calmed the storms. It says this, "And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" These disciples, these people that were in the boat, they worshipped Jesus. And it was a good thing. Why? Because he really is God. He's their creator. He's the one their heart was made for. And they acknowledged that and they began to worship him. And if you notice the disciples, what followed that? They put Jesus in their place of glory and they devoted themselves to him and his cause and they made sacrifices for him. Why? Because Jesus was the treasure of their universe. Jesus is where they got their affection from. Jesus is where they got their joy from. So they were willing to pursue him with everything they had. Now here's the deal. In this fight, Jesus is very concerned that he wins. Very concerned. I'll give you an example. How many of you guys have heard of the Ten Commandments? Most of you, Ten Commandments. All right, there's 10 of them, right? So if there's 10 commandments, you would probably think that the first two would be pretty important, right? If there's 10, the first two, I would say you need to sort of nail down. Well, I just want to read you what the first two commandments are. It says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Here's number one. "You shall have no other gods before me." That's number one, all right? I'm God, don't have any other gods. Now, here's number two. "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." So, commandment number one, I'm God, don't have any other gods. Commandment two, I'm God, don't make another god. Do you get the importance here? It's almost the exact same thing. Why? Because he is very concerned about this throne in your life. He is very concerned about this place of glory. He says, "I am God, I'm the only one that deserves to be the centerpiece of your life, and I'm jealous for it. I'm angry if anything else comes up here." It's blasphemy if anything comes up here. It's idolatry if anything comes up here. Jesus is very concerned that he is at the place of worship in your heart. That your devotion is going to him. That your sacrifice is going to him. Here's another one. In Deuteronomy it says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Somebody asked Jesus, they said, "Hey Jesus, what's the greatest commandment?" You know what he said? This. "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart." Not just, you need to divide this throne and have a place for him. He says, no. All of you should have Jesus at the very center of your being. He should have you all. He should have all of your heart, all of your might, all of your strength, all of your soul, that he would be the treasure of your universe so that everything else in your life flows out of a relationship with him. Who you pick to date, where you pick to go, the car you buy, the clothes you wear, everything, the music you listen to, the food you eat, the things you drink, it all should be revolved around Jesus being your centerpiece. And you make sure that everything you do is done for the glory of Jesus because he is at the throne. It's a big deal. The first two commandments are all about this throne. The greatest commandment is all about this throne. As you can see, this is a big deal. This fight that's going on in your soul right now, that Jesus versus the idols, it really matters who wins. This is heaven or hell for you. It's a big deal. If idols are always on the throne, if idols are things you always run to, it probably means you don't know Jesus. Because if you know him, and it says in Matthew that it's like finding treasure in a field. And once you find it, in your joy, you go and you sell everything you have in order to buy that field. That's what it means to be a Christian, that you see Jesus as the greatest being in the universe and you're willing to say, "I'm chucking everything else in my life because I want him." Because he is the true treasure of the universe. He is at the place of glory. So as we close, I want you to think, who's on this throne. Because all of us are in this battle right now. All of us have this seat of glory in our beings. And Jesus is fighting for it, but so many of us let all these other things creep up. We let good things like cell phones, video games, all these things can be good. We can enjoy those. But sometimes they become ultimate things. They become God things. And then they become very bad things because they steal God's glory. And God is a jealous God. He really cares who you worship because he's the only one worthy of our worship. Why? Because we were created by him, through him, for this purpose, for him, to make much of him, so that your life would say, to him be the glory forever. Amen. Done. Nothing else said. Nothing else added to that. Him be glory. And everything else in my life is in pale comparison to him. That's how you should live your life. And it's hard because me, that means that my wife, I love her, but she's pale in comparison to Christ. My son Crider, I love him, but he doesn't even compare to Jesus. Not even a question. So much that Jesus says that when you compare our love, it should look like I hate Crider in comparison to loving him. That's the distance in my heart of where Jesus is and where everything else is. This is big. This is huge. Jesus versus idols, this really matters in your life. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about this. Tonight, I hope you understand that you are created for worship, and Jesus is the only one who you should be truly worshiping, but there's a whole lot of other stuff that you can worship. And all this other stuff is pleading for your worship. And it's all idols. And I pray this week God would show those things to you that have become God things. You would repent of them and start loving Jesus with all of your heart. Next week, I pray you would come back. Because we don't only run to idols for worship. We also run to idols because everyone in this room needs a Savior. We all do. And a lot of times, instead of running to Jesus, we turn to idols to be our Saviors. And that's what we're going to look at next week. So this week, here's the throne. Here's the place of glory in your life. I pray Jesus Christ would be on the throne. He would be the centerpiece. He would be your treasure. And because of that, you devote yourself to him and you sacrifice for him. Why? Not out of duty, but out of delight. Because you are so crazy in love with him. And as Piper said, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. Let's pray. Father, this is such a big deal to you. So much that, God, I'm almost in fear and trembling teaching a group of 100 high schoolers this topic. Because worship is the centerpiece of so much of Scripture. Idolatry is all over the Bible. Why? Because you care so much about worship. God, help us to see this throne of glory in our hearts. Help us put Jesus as the treasure of our universe, where he is the ultimate in our life. And everything else is in pale comparison to him. That is when we worship. And I pray that we would not let anything else on that throne. God, help us. Help Jesus win in our lives. Help him knock down all the idols and stand at his rightful place in our lives, at the throne of glory. It's in his name we pray. Amen.